Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. Oh man, this is so exciting. Not only do I have co-host Brian Nanny live from the Vox Media Studios on screen in front of me, I got like an engineer back here. We're on a real mic, like a real dang mic. And guess who's sitting to my right immediately? That's right, college football expert.
I don't know about that.
Trademark, hashtag.
Microsoft certified expert.
Apple Store college football genius. That means I can talk Stanford and nothing else, which means we're in luck because it's the Pac-12 North
It's the Pac-12. Can I do one thing before we get rolling real quick?
Yeah, man.
So like lately we've gotten a handful of complaints about our podcast, which is not unusual. Like Spencer got an email from an Ohio State fan. We got a wonderful one-star review from somebody who clearly understands what our podcast is and just doesn't like that. I want to peel back the curtain a little bit. Here's how podcasting works. To have a podcast, you have to get a podcast license. Now, in 2017, that can cost you anywhere between $300,000 and $360,000. Now, how long have we been doing? How long have we been doing this show? Like 4 years, 5 years, something like that?
Well, we're on season 7, so like 4 years.
Right. When we started, it wasn't nearly that expensive, but it was in six figures.
$17.
He's lying. It was at least six figures. So what I'm saying is this. Those licenses are given out by the government. You have two choices in the same way that like the FCC handles airwaves and things like that. So if you don't like the Shutdown Fullcast, you have two choices. One, you can purchase our podcast license. Now, like I said, that's going to run you at least $300,000, if not more. Or you can go to a local government podcast office. Now, they're all regional, and you have to go in person. I believe the Southeast region is located in Montgomery. Is that where the regional office is?
It is. It's a pain in the butt. But you do get to drive all the way over to the Magnolia City, have yourself a lovely taco over there at Ali Sheikh Mohammed's Tacos. It's the biggest taco place in Montgomery. It's great.
That office is open on Tuesdays between 11 and 11:14, and on Thursdays between 11:14 and 11:12. Now, I know that seems weird, but that's what's listed.
So, folks, before y'all stampede to Montgomery, and if you were going anyway, which you probably were, that's fine. But before you head there, you should know that we're not actually registered at that one or at one near New York City. We are registered at the one in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
That's right. I'm sorry. I forgot about that.
Because we used the wrong code. We had a coupon code, and we typed it in backwards.
Right. You're going to want to go to that office, talk to Darlene, not Darlene. If you call her Darlene, she will not deal with you. Darlene, very nice woman who runs that office, and file a complaint with her. There's a chance that they'll yank our license. I don't know. I mean, we're not real involved in it after we got it, but either that or, you know, Venmo Spencer $300,000.
And that's what you need to know about podcast licenses. Yep. If you're like, how did these guys get away with it? We paid $17 for our license. We bought low, and we're going to sell high. So if you would like a more informative college football podcast, please, a check for an adjusted $653,000.
Right.
Wow.
Paid directly to the Children's Area Sinai Hospital. You can just use the abbreviation. Send me that check. And we'll be fine.
And we'll be done. Well, you know what? It'll be the last. We'll never do. We won't even guest on anybody else's podcast. Podcast Ain't Played Nobody will be Spencer, Jason, Ryan free forever.
I'll tell you what. For an even $3 million, none of us will ever speak again.
Damn. Yeah.
No one will hear our voices.
Yeah.
Government, don't listen to that. You didn't hear that.
Government, look away.
Else, hello.
But nobody has paid that money as of today, so it's time to preview the Pac-12 North.
North? Yeah. I love this conference. I love these teams. I enjoy how predictions are kind of pointless. They're great, because I'm pretty sure we know who's good, and we know who's bad, and then everyone in the middle is a bit of a tussle. This conference... Does this have, like, this division of this conference, does this have the highest turnover based on, like, a 3 or 4 year span from where they were to to where they are now.
In terms of coaches or in terms of just like the pecking order?
Well, the pecking order. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've had coaching turnover, obviously, but the pecking order has flipped dramatically in this conference.
I think it did last year, just mainly Washington and Oregon and also Washington State. But coming into this year, it's almost like it's you got to keep up with this, man. It'll flip so fast, it'll flip all the way around. You won't even realize it started flipping yet because, like, hey, what if it's Washington? You know, what if it's Stanford wins and Oregon second? Something crazy happens to Washington. Now we're right back where
this we is. This is the House Hunters International of divisions, right? Because basically, everyone walks in and goes, "What I would really like is a 5-3 on the beach with marble floors." And they're like, "How about you flip this Oregon State? It's a shack. It's got a hole in the roof, and we'll pay a coach, a good one, to come in and do it."
I think this division is more like a Mario Maker level, where you know, you set up this ridiculous maze that that you yourself can barely even complete. And like, the thing about that game is you have to finish the level before you can post it online. And this is the division where, you know, you got to go to Pullman. That's like, man, that's like jumping in the, you know, the swirling pit of the stompy rocks. And, you know, you
got to. Yeah, but that's where the blue switch is. You got to hit that blue switch.
You got to hit, if you want to escape, you got to hit the blue switch.
If we've already lost you, then let's just sum it up this way. Oregon's going to be bad, and that's good for them this year. That's how messed up and how flipped around this entire division is from where it was 4 or 5 years ago, okay? When you can rely on Washington being a bankable commodity and Washington State also being good, you know that something dramatic has happened where, I don't know, we're kind of back to, like, you know, 1997 standards when it comes to the conference.
Very 90s, yeah. Maybe like 1991 featuring 1998 Washington State.
Who you want to talk about first, Ryan?
Well, you want to talk about Oregon. I'm not going to take that away from you.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's just go to this. Okay. New coach, Willie Taggart. How'd that get off to a start? How was the start? Did it go well?
Painful, as I recall. Literally painful.
Started strong.
Yeah.
Strong.
I mean, it did have a kind of strength to it.
Mm-hmm.
In that their strength coach was suspended for putting players through workouts so hard that a couple of them got rhabdo. Keep in mind, the coach was suspended for that. At Iowa, I don't know, a couple of years ago, like 10 people got rhabdo.
But that was a good Iowa year, as I recall.
Yeah, that was. And then their strength coach got an award for being an awesome strength coach. At Oregon, he gets suspended. I'm just presenting facts, and I'll let you walk away with the conclusion you care to take from them. In addition to that, Oregon lost an assistant coach to, I believe that was a DUI charge. Is that correct?
That sounds right.
They also lost their top wide receiver to that particular ailment.
Mm. Yeah. So a little bit of the old Nashville speeding ticket for both an assistant coach and a wide receiver, a strength coach who got in hot water after just a week on the job. Just a week.
Hit the ground running, bro.
Yeah. Not exactly an auspicious start for Willie Taggart, but let's review the Willie Taggart resume as goes his rebuilding projects. First gig is at Western Kentucky, correct?
Uh-huh.
And how did he do in his first year there?
Well, without looking at, based nothing on nothing but memory, I'm going to say things were not off to a hot start, but then they rapidly build. I think it was a bowl by year three, and bowls are pretty rare there.
That is correct. Like, they first season 2-10, little bit of a rebuilding year. Continuing the House Hunters theme, right? Kind of going into fixer-upper. Cheat with me, okay? Then goes to South Florida, where, if you'll remember, they went what?
2-10.
2-10.
2-10.
2-10. That is correct. And then yet in 2013, after going 2-10, they go 4-8, 8-5, creeping up, make a bowl. Then 2016, breakthrough, bam, 10-2.
And this was in 2015. It wasn't even like, oh, they're pretty good. It was more like after September, well, I guess Willie's getting fired. I guess he'll go be a Michigan wide receiver coach, you know, or whatever, wherever Harbaugh was at the time. And then this team caught fucking fire after, like, you know, they decided, why are we running a pro-style offense in the state of Florida? Like, this state is based around nothing but speed, and quarterbacks just getting out there and doing stuff. So we're going spread, and it took off, and that lasted about 20, you know, 15 games, I guess. And now he's coached Oregon, where that's all they do.
Yeah. So to review Oregon's current standards on defense, the standard is Ole. They haven't had a defense in at least since the retirement of Nick Aliotti, their former defensive coordinator. The talent there, it's not there. They really don't have a lot. They won't have a lot until they get a couple of recruiting cycles in. Offensively, not bad. All right, there's definitely some pieces on offense. Right, they've got people who they will be good once Willie Taggart figures out what to put them in. So what I'm saying is that at Western Kentucky in year one, Willie Taggart went 2-10.
That's the main thing to focus on.
And Oregon, he's going to tear this down to the studs, because you're going to have to learn to do everything over again. Under Mark Helfrich's program, by several accounts now, descended into, I think, the kind of comfort that only Nike products could provide when you were just bathing in shoes and a luxurious locker room every single day as a young student athlete. People skipped workouts. I didn't know there was a thing you could do, but evidently Oregon players decided skipping workouts was a thing that they could do.
Well, and the Pac-12, it's more of a guided study.
And it wasn't even like we got to, I don't know, you look at like through week seven, this Oregon team had, at that point, they were 2-5. They'd lost their fifth straight. They just lost to a not very good Cal team. And it wasn't like, oh, Mark Helfrich is done. You know, when they beat Utah on the road with like a last second touchdown to get their fourth win, there were people who were like, you know what? He can survive this. It took that last loss in the Civil War against Oregon State Mark Helfrich ended up being a hard Dracula to kill, a real hard Dracula to kill.
That's right. But here's some good news. This is sounding extremely doom filled, and I don't want it to be entirely doom filled. You have a great returning running back in Royce Freeman. You've got quarterback Justin Herbert coming back. You've got a pretty solid line, and you've got an offensive minded coach who will work with what he's got and put it into a pretty good system. Is it going to be 2-10? I don't think it'll be 2-10. I mean, let's look at the schedule. If this is the Pac-12 and you got to win some shootouts, Oregon's got the horses to win some shootouts.
Okay, hold on. What's the first road game?
You know, there's a lot of things that we can talk about, Ryan, that are negative. And the first road game's at Wyoming.
At Wyoming. At Wyoming.
At Wyoming. It's a state. It's a real state.
Mm-hmm. Who's the head coach at Wyoming?
Craig Bohl.
How do we feel about Craig Bohl?
Well, you feel two different ways about Craig Bohl. We were talking about Craig Bohl earlier. It is, you can picture this game, Wyoming-Oregon. You can picture that being like a 65-60 kind of game because, like, hey, they're a Mountain West team. They got an NFL quarterback and all that. And then when Craig Bohl goes to Iowa, you can picture that being a 7-4 game because it's Craig Bohl. So, like, Wyoming, is that a team that can – is that the rare mid-major that can slow down Oregon's offense and keep up on the scoreboard?
How did you schedule a road game against Wyoming? How? Why?
Let's go back to that.
It's a real state.
No, I'm not disparaging Wyoming as a geographical location. I'm confused as – how Oregon, a team that not that long ago was playing for the national title, said, yes, we will agree to this road game against Wyoming. I just don't get it.
Maybe this was scheduled in like 1949.
Ah, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. This is before Oregon was even, this was a condition of Oregon's statehood.
This was before Nike was founded.
Mm-hmm. Knowing Willie Taggart, I will bet there has been one five-star recruit in the history of the state of Wyoming. Mm. And without looking, I bet he's alive right now. I bet he's in Laramie, And I bet he said, you know, it'd be neat if Oregon played in Wyoming so everyone could watch. And Willie Taggart's like, let me make that happen. Poof! 18 minutes later, Oregon's got a game in Wyoming. That's my best guess because Willie Taggart is a savage recruiter. I don't think, I mean, they could lose this game. Under new management. Not really sure what everyone's assignments are. But if I had to look at sure losses on the schedule and say, yeah, I think that's probably an L. I look down at these games. At Stanford, that's a loss. You lose that game. I would look at Washington. That's a loss.
Streak.
Streak.
There's a streak in that rivalry.
That there be two in a row. Now, here's where the bad news, I think, stops like arriving because you have other games on the schedule that Oregon could find very winnable even in shootout mode. For instance, I think you lose to Utah, sure, but are we even sure that UCLA can score points anymore?
Neither UCLA nor Utah. I mean, I think this schedule is up. It might be the best schedule in the division because if you just go ahead and punt the Stanford and Washington games, fine, we'll play those on the road since we're probably losing anyway. Out of the division, you get both the Arizonas, who might be the conference's worst two teams, and you get to miss USC. So, I mean, I think that alone makes this the conference's best schedule. Plus, compared to last year, you're hosting Nebraska. You almost beat them last year in Lincoln when you were terrible. I'm picking Oregon in that game. To me, this is nowhere near, 4-8 or whatever.
No way. This looks like I'm going to go ahead and go with 7-5.
And there's and there's no like weird Friday or Thursday game on here. There's no, none of it looks terrible.
Nah, let's go 7-5. I'm saying 7-5 because they'll flip a game.
Let's go 8-4. I mean, the offense should be fine. Justin Herbert in his second year. The defense cannot possibly be worse, and Jim Lovett has built a good defense in the Pac-12 with, non-5 stars before, as in last year.
2-10.
Ryan Riverside.
Take that, solid verbal.
Next team.
Let's go. Hey, do you want to go Washington? We'll just work our way through heavyweights here.
Sure.
As long as we end with Cal.
As long as we, watch this. We can get Cal out of the way. Yelcom, come back next year. Come back next year.
Punt. I like Cal. I like your coaching staff. Your schedule is terrible.
Yeah.
No. You see what Cal's doing here. Cal is doing the tour of NCAA ensnared colleges. They start with, now we're doing the Cal preview. Sorry. They have North Carolina to start the year. 2 weeks after that, they play Ole Miss. The week after that, they play USC. The week after that, they play Oregon. I mean, it's just like, they should just bring an investigator with them.
I almost wish they weren't playing Ole Miss so we could just point out that they'll play the same bowl game this year.
I would like to point out that also Cal Ole Miss is probably as big a culture clash as we could. Did you just notice that Cal's playing Ole Miss?
I didn't really think about it. Fucking, who's the Milo is going to show up and have a Ann Coulter is going to show up? Where is that game?
That's where everyone hates
that. That game's in Berkeley, yeah.
Oh my God, the damn alt-right is going to show up wearing Ole Miss Confederate gear.
Antifa for the rebels!
Somehow both teams will be 3-0 and game day will be there and Lee Corso will be kidnapped. Oh man, this is a mess. We gotta cancel this.
Yeah, no, this is.
I like how they're both bears of very different breeds. The golden bears and the problematic bears.
You appropriated our culture, Ole Miss.
That's the birthday response.
Yeah, we were down with bears long before you ever were. This is their schedule. Let's just review Cal's schedule and then move on. Cal. Absolutely nothing on defense. Nothing. There's not a soul on that defense. If you ever wanted to be a walk-on and you're 18 years old and listening to this podcast, don't go to Cal because you could do it, but do you know how bad it's going to feel? Do you like doing wind sprints for 60 minutes? That's what you'll be doing.
I think Justin Wilcox from Wisconsin, an excellent defense coordinator who has been in the Pac-12 before, he should have just brought Jim Leonard with him because now you got a defender. Just bring him as, all-time defender.
The good news is that Cal won't keep you up vaguely staying in games until like the third or fourth quarter at 1 a.m.
No, that'll
be over because this is a complete rebuild. This feels like a team that could win one game this year.
Wow.
One.
One.
Damn.
One.
Because, no, wow. But look, where are you? What? Weber
no, I
State.
I think if you take Weber State and coin flip one of the Arizona Oregon State games, I think that seems
Oregon State's going to be a better football team.
Oregon State will be a better football team. I don't think they're going to be like decisively better than Cal.
Are we sure about that?
I'm not. Jesus, we're never sure about anything. We're not even sure we have the right teams when we do these previews.
Oh yeah, don't pay attention to Cal. I'm actually gonna call. This feels like I'll accept a coin flip, especially versus Arizona, aka the program in all signs of program collapse.
Arizona and the penny slot defense.
Yeah, is that 2-10? 2-10. Cal, 2-10.
2-10. All right, sorry.
You're familiar with this. Don't act like you're shocked.
Now you can do your Washington preview.
Whoo, man.
See how much cleaner you feel now that you got that out of the way?
Get your cow out of the way early in a day. yeah, Washington. Do you have any strong opinions on Washington other than they're good?
They lose a lot of their secondary, which per Bill C's arithmetic is the area where returning production tends to be the diciest if you're starting over. That and the passing game on offense are kind of the two hardest areas to replace. And that's basically the only worry.
That's it. Because, let's see, do you have a quarterback?
You do. You got Jake Browning. Should be maybe the conference's Heisman favorite, even over Sam Darnold.
Yeah, by the way, Jake Browning, you might have watched him against Alabama last year in Atlanta and gone, whoo, that guy, he's got problems. He did. He had a banged up shoulder. He was playing Alabama with a bad shoulder. That's why he looked the way he did in that game. Also, they couldn't block Alabama. But they should be deeper. They should be more experienced. They get Dante Pettis back. Dante Pettis now in his seventh year in college football. He's going to be their number one receiver, and he's outstanding. So, yeah, they lose John Ross, and that sucks because I always liked watching a guy who could run a 3.9. But they get Dante Pettis back, who only runs a 4.4. Shame. Shame, Washington. This is weird, by the way, how fast this happened. It was not supposed to happen this fast. They were not supposed to be this good this fast, and this was the project we were all waiting on, right? We were waiting on, oh, man, Chris Peterson's going to go there, and they're going to blow up like Boise State. Like, that happened. Don't sleep on that. That happened last year.
Some of it was that they did they were the most direct beneficiaries of Oregon completely cratering, A. They caught Stanford at a very bad time last year when Stanford, had its most injury-racked portion, and Washington was probably playing its best football. So there is a little bit of like the stars aligned just right for the Huskies last year. That said, I remember last offseason, Dan Rubenstein was, you know, jokingly telling everybody like undefeated UW, put it in the books, and it almost came true.
Well, because it's Oregon, Dan being an Oregon fan, because it's Oregon, it had to go against Oregon.
Right.
When things look pretty good, oh, Washington's getting hype. Oh, this will be hilarious. No. Oregon will be the team that suffers the most here.
Yeah.
See 2007 and 2010 and 2014 and various other years.
The one place they'll really miss people is the loss of Buda Baker, because Buda Baker moving downhill was the scariest thing I've seen out of the secondary.
Just a heat-seeking missile.
Against Alabama, right? Like, I thought, like, oh, man, they'll pick him up and block him. No. He's there in the backfield with a crowbar. Very, very mean. They'll miss Buda Baker, I think. But overall, like, the projection is 10-2 on this team. That seems – is that pessimistic if you look at it? Because the schedule – let's go through that schedule. Who do they open with? Rutgers. Okay. 1-0. It's a great way to start the year.
Maybe is one of the losses that you have to go to Rutgers?
Yeah, that's a spiritual loss.
Do you count that in the things?
Right.
In the Pac-12, you do, I think.
They're going to run out of ammo in that cannon.
If Larry's got senses that your vibe is not sufficiently attuned with nature, He continue for that.
You're gonna turn down your butt. You're gonna like completely mess up your body clock and still win by 35 in your opener. Congratulations.
Be bitterly disappointed in the effort.
You have to apologize for it. Yeah.
Yeah. Then Montana, Fresno State. I think they got Colorado right. A depleted Colorado compared to what they faced last year, even though that's at Folsom. They go to Oregon State. Their road schedule, Arizona State, until that Stanford game, their road schedule is pretty cakey.
Yeah, and that's the Stanford game is the only road game that really, I mean, maybe Colorado, but that's the only one that really looks all that scary. There, I mean, it's not impossible that Washington can get through this schedule and, in theory, never play a team that finishes in the top 25. Like, I don't look at this and say, oh, I'm Stanford, I guess, is the exception. Stanford is the one team that I'm like, they should finish top 25. Colorado and UCLA are probably the other two close ones, but, like, I'm not confident and Wazoo. But, like, this could be a situation where Washington goes 10-2, maybe even 11-1, and then you get all the, I mean, it happened last year to some extent, all the sort of like, well, the strength of schedule, blah, blah, blah. It's not going to get better this year.
I think it looks a little less squishy than last year.
Really?
You're playing Rutgers on the road. That alone will give you a big bump instead of at home, because you're clacking all those frequent flyer miles. The committee likes those. But also, I don't know how we prove this, but there's also the theory that, like, the college football guard, whether it's the BCS, the polls, the playoff, whoever it is, that they sort of take what you've done before the year into account. They're not supposed to. You can't show that they do this, but knowing that Washington was playoff quality last year, based on they did a lot better than Ohio State did. I think that gives them more of a starting point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going 11-1.
Okay. Yeah, I have 11-1 too. That Stanford game, it's on a short week at Stanford. Stanford should be good. Fine. That's an L. But I think I have Washington 11-1, USC winning the conference.
No. I think we can move to this one.
Yeah.
The next team I want to talk about. You want to talk about a bad team? Get them out of the way?
Hell yeah.
Like a real bad team? Because we could talk about Oregon State. We talked about Cal.
A team not 5 minutes ago you were telling me was going to be clearly better than Cal.
What does that mean? I want you to get into the semantics of better than Cal. All right?
It's a cover band of better than Ezra.
Yeah. yeah, it's not good to be better than Cal. It just means that you're not, it's like not comatose, right?
Right.
Still alive and in pain. At least Cal fans can't feel a thing.
Fair.
Oregon State fans might have a little bit of soul. But remember in our ACC preview, we were talking about, man, you know, this team's going to be better, like much better. And it might not because of the schedule, right?
Yeah.
So my advice to Oregon State fans, if you dare listen to this, don't pay attention to the record. Look at your performance on the field.
This is a year to look and see what the advanced statistics say.
Because
if they say you're a top 50 team and you went 3-9, well, you're a top 50 team.
Yeah, look at you. If you're a top 70 team, you should feel pretty
That's
good about it.
Almost
you.
Halfway.
What it is, you're building up hype for 2018. That's what you're doing. You're going to intentionally have a win-loss schedule that does not reflect the quality of your team. And that way, Bill and everybody else who puts in the work to actually understand anything about college football can say a year from now, look out, here come the Beavers. They're going to get you.
So the schedule sucks. There's a lot of good things you should know about Oregon State, okay? You should know that Gary Anderson, everyone loves him. Like doing all the right things for the program. Understands how to build in that space. Understands how a program at that scale is supposed to compete and punch well above its weight while not getting expectations too high. Because that's where you're at, Oregon State, right? You're hoping to win 11 or 10 games in 2 years. after you've recruited a lot of depth, which you didn't have coming out of the end of the Mike Riley era. But it's gonna be pretty ugly this year in terms of your schedule, because we're just gonna zip through that. Remind you, oh, you open at Colorado State. That's yep. It's not an easy game. Then you play Portland State. Okay.
we'll give you that.
That's nice. That's a nice little neck rub. Then Minnesota. It's not gonna be fun at all. They come to you. They're still probably a better team than you are, and they're not real good. At Washington State, you're gonna die. It's okay. Everyone dies. You're just gonna die. Go to Oregon State, Washington State, and give up like 1,000 points. Then Washington comes to town. Forget that week. Have you really thought about getting outdoors more as an Oregon State fan? You should. You're in a beautiful area. You could consider fishing. You could learn to fly fish. You won't. No one ever learns to fly fish. But you could think about it, right? Maybe you could go on a bike ride. Mike Riley used to go on bike rides.
You're super close to Eugene, Oregon. You could go there, and you could go there during, like, when Oregon's at Stanford. That'd be funny.
Eugene's lovely. The statue that Jedediah Springfield is based on is right in the middle of campus. Go see that if you're a Simpsons fan. And if you're not, enjoy the beautiful views of Washington's Western Volcanic Ridge. You can see the whole thing. It's just a stunning geological feature. And then, oh, you go to USC again. But you know, LA's crowded. It's expensive. You don't need to go there. Colorado comes to town. That's probably a loss. Stanford comes to town. That's also probably a loss. Then you go to Cal, which, as I've stated, definitively, if there's nothing else that you can know about this season, you're better than Cal. So please win that game so I can be right about one thing.
So here's the metaphor for Oregon State football. I'm going to pronounce this almost certainly wrong, but do you know the name of Oregon State Stadium?
Reeser?
Yeah. The Reesers, for whom the stadium was named, run a fine foods company. It started from a potato salad business. In Oregon State, this is a potato salad year, which is to say it's never that good. Potato salad is never must eat. Never something you can't miss out on. You can always do something better than potato salad. Treat it that way.
Part of that potato salad has Ryan Nall at running back, by the way. And Ryan Nall is as close as you'll get to, like, the modern Mike Allstott. In that, oh, except he doesn't steal touchdowns from work. Done.
Aww.
He's not a touchdown vulture.
Love you, Mike Shula.
If we're talking positions as sides, fullback, potato salad. That works.
And he's basically a fullback who's their full-time, you know, starting running back. Not full-time. He'll split with a number of other talented running backs.
Such as Thomas Tyner from Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's just go. This feels, I'm kind of pessimistic, but optimistic. Tough schedule. Progress. 4-8. You're West Coast Maryland, Oregon State. Oh, God. I'm sorry I said that.
Wow.
I'm so sorry.
Wow. I think this is a 6-6 quality team against a friendly schedule, but yeah, more like 4-8 because the schedule is very mean.
Very mean. You know what's not mean? If I've got to be... Was that a transition? You know what's friendly? For instance, if you're an Oregon State fan and you're going, where can I go and not watch Oregon State when they're going to struggle against teams that just have had, you know, the advantages that other teams have had that we haven't, right? If you want to go, say, for instance, and go watch another football game, right? Ryan, give me another football game.
Go see the Seattle Seahawks, maybe.
Yeah, you could. You could go watch a Seahawks game. Well, wait, I don't have a ticket. How am I going to get one?
Murder someone.
Gosh. Well, you know, as common a response as that has been, and how do we get things on the shutdown full cast? Turns out that's not a really great way to do it. There's a much more reasonable way to do it that incurs, at the very least, fewer legal fees, okay?
Yeah.
If you don't like billable hours and you need yourself a football ticket and you do not want to, as we suggested on previous episodes, pay a street urchin from the 1930s to get one for you, no, you can get it yourself. Here in this modern market economy where everybody's constantly on the internets.com, you can go to SeatGeek and get yourself a ticket. That's right, SeatGeek. You can get the app on your phone. It's easy, simple. Shop for yourself. Get just look and get yourself a Seahawks ticket. Does the Seahawks play the Raiders? I don't even know the NFL. that happen?
I don't. They're not in the same division, but maybe. I don't know. I haven't paid.
Sure. You know what? It's Marshawn Lynch coming home, and that's all you want to do. All right. All you want to do is see Marshawn Lynch in Seattle again. Well, guess what? You just open up the SeatGeek app with just a few convenient taps, you can find seats. And you know, you can do that if you want to buy tickets to the imaginary Seattle Oakland game I just made up. Please don't hold them liable for that.
It's a bowl game.
It's a bowl game. That's right. Or if you want to go see the Apple Cup, if you want to go see Washington State, Washington, which we'll hype this year like, oh man, this could decide the whole Pac-12 North. Washington State's going to lose. Don't go. Just watch it on TV. It'll be much easier. And the weather will probably be some weird thing like, you know, caramel sundaes blowing sideways because that's the way the Apple Cup always works. But if you wanted to go to that, you can use the SeatGeek app. It'll save you time. It'll save you money, give you the most bang for your buck. And every purchase is fully guaranteed. And that way, you can do one thing in your life with absolute confidence, which is shop for ticket. So just download the app and enter the promo code SBNation today. That's promo code SBNation for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
Now let's take that a step forward. There are, if Wikipedia is right, and why wouldn't it be? There are 30,000 students, a little over, at Oregon State enrolled. Let's say each of them takes advantage of this offer. That's $600,000 saved, right? Now we take that money. Spencer, let's take that money to Las Vegas. What are we playing?
Roulette. We're going to roulette.
What are we putting? What are you thinking? You putting it on first 12? You thinking we're putting it like spreading it out? What do you want to do?
Yeah, no, I'm taking 19 chips, turn it into a coin flip, and I'm spreading it out.
Okay. Now we're going to turn that money into more money. You know what we're doing? We're closing the dollar gap between Oregon State and Oregon. We're taking advantage, and we're saying, fuck you, Phil Knight. We have SeatGeek money that we have turned into more money through the American power of roulette.
Also, if you do happen to catch that murder charge for murdering a Seahawks fan, think about how much easier it would be to pay your legal bills with $20 more right. than you would have had otherwise.
Right. We talk about sports online. We know lawyers.
We
are lawyers.
We're all lawyers. All of us are lawyers.
Like one more hour of Ryan's time when you hire him as your lawyer. That's about how much a lawyer costs per hour, right?
$20.
Please, for your own sake, hire Bud instead. For your own sake, go hire Bud.
Bud'll do like 5 cases at once, but it'll turn out fine somehow. He'll have you on the phablet, like he'll turn it into landscape mode. And he'll just be scrolling through his legal spreadsheets, and yeah, you'll get off. You won't understand how.
Well, and Bud'll also somehow get you rated a 4-star by 24/7. You won't even understand it. You're 38 years old. You don't even like football playing. How are you a 4-star recruit?
You'll have an offer from Memphis, is all we know.
And that offer from Memphis will turn into an offer from Tennessee.
An offer from Memphis is also good for $20.
That's right. Promo code SBNation, y'all. It all starts there. SeatGeek!
Next team!
That was amazing ad read on my part.
Well, we're already talking the apps and disruptive technology. Let's knock out Stanford.
Okay.
Well, sure. Yeah. We got, speaking of apps, we got another quarterback who's working with VR. Remember, Stanford's quarterbacks all work with virtual reality software. So do Arkansas's. Those are the only time that Stanford and Arkansas will ever be mentioned in the same breath.
Wildly different technology. I feel like Arkansas's quarterbacks are working off like the Chipotle order and go app, like
like some sort of bootleg.
Well, no, it's
of the app.
It's the same program, but Arkansas's takes you into a hometown buffet. It's not a football field at all.
Arkansas puts you in like a Minecraft where you have to like set up rig a huge machine that like slaughters cows that are sliding down a hill, and it turns them into the little spinning beef icons.
Yeah, delicious. Meanwhile, Stanford's VR, it's hardwired into their head. They got a chip, right?
Yeah, they got the what's the Iron Man when his armor actually becomes like embedded in his skin. That's why it takes so long when you're a Stanford quarterback. It takes you about 3 years to actually see the field. It's not because the offense is all that complicated. All you do is hand it to a running back.
This is the Andrew Luck chair of offense. His name is Jarvis.
Yeah. Your body's gonna reject him for a couple years, but it'll get there.
You know,
you'll die.
I wasn't sure about leaving the South to go play at Stanford as quarterback. One, they got a good track record. Two, Coach Vision just made me feel so at home here.
Also, I can fly now.
Yeah. I can fly. It's amazing. The free market did all this.
I'm not allowed to because then I can't hand it to a running back, but.
Yeah. That's what we're looking at here. We're looking at a team that's going to depend on the increasing development of Keller Chris. We're also going to look at a team that's going to have to replace Christian McCaffrey, who was really good despite biting off injuries last year. So that's a very large piece to have to replace for Stanford.
And where will it all begin for the Cardinal? That's right! Sydney, Australia.
The natural home of college football, Sydney, Australia.
I like how this was going to be a Rice home game, and they ended up turning a trip to Houston to a trip to Australia, which, okay, you're going to eat a lot of meat in either location. You're going to spend a lot of time at the airport in either location.
And there won't be that many Rice fans at either location.
No one at either location cares about either of these teams. No one will attend either game, so hold it anywhere.
Yeah. Defensively, by the way, this is a very good team. Like, you should also know that. Like, very experienced, very deep. Gonna be very nasty defensively. So if I weren't so absolutely smitten with Washington overall, the question mark is really big here because you don't see obvious playmakers on offense. You just see effective, well-stocked offensive line and capable receivers. Quarterback and running back remains like a bit of a question to me, which is why I would give Washington the edge overall in the division.
Well, and also you look at, I mean, Jason pointed out that Washington got like a pretty nice schedule assigned to them. And then you look at Stanford from the South, they're going to play USC, UCLA, and Utah, which theoretically could be the three best, or at least three of the four best teams in the South. Outside of conference, other than the Rice game, they have Notre Dame at the end of the year. Notre Dame joke goes here. We'll fill it in later. Don't worry about it. But it's still – Notre Dame's still not Rutgers. God, I hope that – I'm gonna laugh my ass off if we get to the end of the year and we say, hey, remember when we said Notre Dame wasn't Rutgers? And they go to San Diego State, which is a feisty team as non-power fives go. So it's definitely a road paved with more possible treachery and stumbling than Washington's, I think, by far.
Yeah, I'll go 9-3, and that feels like a disappointment for them because the standard has been so high. But 9-3 makes a lot of sense, especially given what they're going to have to develop and replace. And by the way, like, I have total faith. That's what you do with Stanford, right? You go, man, I don't know how they're going to replace that guy. And then 4 games later, you're like, oh, they replaced that guy, right?
Who?
Yeah.
What was his name?
They've just been so systematic about how they develop talent that when things go bad early, they've got a plan. It's in place. They'll stick with it. Zero panic. Look bad at times on the way, but when they get there, it clicks. So 9-3.
9-3 and like just hammering some poor Big 12 team in the Alamo Bowl. Just like bludgeoning them to death.
And beating Notre Dame. They're gonna beat Notre Dame.
I it feels like 8-4 is a floor. And this could be a 10-2 team. So 9-3 feels about right. I mean the two obvious losses, Christian McCaffrey and Solomon Thomas. So they're probably losing their best player on each side of the ball, or at least their most obvious, but I just feel there's so much coming back that I don't know how much you'll miss those two guys, as odd as that is to say, for those of us who remember what Stanford was, you know, more than 10 years ago. Just bank them for 9-3 every year.
Spencer, give us our last team.
Did we save Washington State for last?
We did.
We did this accidentally. This wasn't really a matter of design. We weren't going to just, you know, hold off on you, old Pirate Leech, to go that way. But that's exactly what happened. And that's fine, because Washington State remains with the restructuring of Cal and Oregon. Washington State is probably the most exciting team?
Most interesting team to watch.
The longest team to watch.
The most. They are the most team.
The most time-consuming team to watch.
Mm-hmm. Let's look at it this way. If you liked Washington State at its most extreme over the last 2 years, you'll love them this year.
Yeah, yeah. Because the defense left.
Yeah, they left. They just went somewhere else.
And the offense is back.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and what's happened? How has Washington State started their season the last 2 years? They always start with a loss to an FCS team.
Yeah.
And who are they playing to start the year?
Montana State, the Bobcats.
Montana, goddamn state.
Yeah.
This is the year that streak ends.
Oh, wow.
I'm gonna call it.
Wow.
I'm gonna call it. They're gonna be an FCS team this year, boys. It's gonna happen.
And then lose to a mid-major at home the next
week. And then totally lose to Boise State the next year. There's no way they're getting out of the gate well, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. No matter what, they're suffering a non-power loss.
Good.
I can see them easily sliding into like a 3-game losing streak to start and then winning the last like 8 out of the last 9.
Sure, sure. I like my favorite note on their schedule, which I did not notice while looking at USC's, is that USC has to go to Cal. Okay, that's not that challenging. But then they have a short week trip to Pullman immediately after. So that's like a lot of travel crammed into like 9 days or so. And USC at Washington State, boy, that sounds like something that could get weird anyway. So, I mean, Wazoo losing to Montana State and then beating USC like 3 weeks later. Yes, book it.
Let's look at it this way. Luke Falk has everything that he requires in order to have another massive, massive year at quarterback. All right. What does their defense have?
Yeah, well, I misspoke when I said it left. The secondary, a lot of it left. The front seven's intact, so you won't be able to run on Washington State. I don't know why you would anyway, because they're going to be up by 30 points if you try that. So
this is a tidal wave defense, basically. It's going to rush at you hard. It's going to be pretty big up front. And if you can throw a ball over it, yay, someone on the other side can catch it and swim as far as they want. That's how this defense is going to work. It's going
to
be...
It's like Moana trying to leave the reef.
Yeah. Once she makes it, smooth sailing, okay? Might break up your boat on the way, but if it doesn't, there's nothing behind it. In addition to that, you know, Washington State tends to put a bit of pressure on you know, their defense anyway by getting a lot of reps and scores in. Yeah, this is – you've seen this before. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's very fun, and it's – unless you're a Washington State fan, in which case – it'll drive you into a happy, functional kind of alcoholism, not the despair-driven, dysfunctional alcoholism of the Paul Wolf era. So, overall, yeah.
But to be clear, alcoholism is in your future.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're going to turn up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have to go to Canada for some liver care. Fortunately, you're close.
If you liked Texas Tech of about 12 years ago, here it is. Because... program becomes more and more leech every year, and this is as leech as it gets. Like, you know, even as they've developed the ability to run, they still choose not to. Like, they were still last in the country in carries last year, right? Don't look it up. Don't look it up. I'm sure I'm right. But so even as they become more balanced, they just choose to ignore balance. It's beautiful in its own way.
Yeah.
I think this is... The numbers have this as a 6 or 7 win team. I feel like 8-4 looks better.
I just think if they can keep Luke Falk upright, that's it. He's taken a pounding.
And come on, when has Washington State had trouble keeping a quarterback healthy?
Mm-hmm.
Hard to remember.
One of the few programs I can remember that had a quarterback with a lacerated liver.
I mean, shit. They literally wear red shirts. This is Star Trek tells you what's going to happen if you're a Wazoo quarterback.
But yeah, this feels like I'm going to go 8-4, right? I could just if they really put it on, and I want to make the coward's prediction here. 8-4 feels like the logical thing, right?
No. Numbers are
okay.
The numbers are urging us to go 6-6, so we're already bold.
Spencer Hall, : said this. Wow. That seems like the logical thing, 8-4. But if there is a surprise team lurking somewhere in this division, it's Wazoo.
Whew.
I think with an extremely experienced quarterback, a potent offense, and just enough defense to hold serve, they're more than capable of flipping the script on people, and I think doing even better than that. Is that irrational? Yes. Yes, I think that is irrational. Do I feel it deeply? Absolutely.
So if these collective predictions hold true, the North is going to be a very fun and very good division.
Yeah, I think it's the better of the two, pretty clearly. I think you have, I would go down and include Oregon State and say you have five decent to good teams here.
I would also like to back way, 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 way up. If Ole Miss loses to Cal, that means the North won again.